In our urban world, in the streets where we walk, in the buses we take, in the magazines we read, on walls, on screens, we are surrounded by images of an alternative way of life. We may remember or forget these images, but briefly we take them in, and for a moment they stimulate our imagination, either by way of memory or anticipation. But where is this other way of life? It's a language of words and images which calls out to us wherever we go, whatever we read, wherever we are. Where do they exist, these fabulous rewards and objects and people? Where do they belong to? Here, there, or nowhere? They come with us everywhere. We take them away in our minds. We see them in our dreams.
There are some people, and I'm one of them, who suspect that there is no better world than this lousy and crooked one we see all around us.
X-Tree, read all about it. Car bursts into flame on city street as detective passes by. X-Tree, X-Tree, strange disappearance of continent of Australia.
Maybe there's one or two optimists who might argue the matter. Yeah, sure. And maybe there's one or two saints left. And maybe even one or two heroes. And maybe there really is a Santa Claus. And maybe the Easter Bunny ate labeled Friar down at the Mini Super. But you find them for me, pal. And I'll lay you several to one that you just plain made them up.
Publicity proposes to each of us in a consumer society that we change ourselves or our lives by buying something more. This more, publicity persuades us, will make us in some way richer, even though we will be poorer by having spent our money.
Caramba!
If I drove this car in my country, I'd be kidnapped.
Caramba!
I want a car that smells like me. I'm not a simple man. I do not need a simple car.
Caramba!
I love to drink in the lush, wine-filled interior. I like the way the doors lock. I will be buried in this car.
Caramba!
I love this car. I hate this music.
From General Motors, the people who gave you the luxury car and recalled it.
And publicity persuades us of this transformation by showing us people who have apparently been transformed and are, as a result, enviable.
Phew, they've all gone. Madge, will you help me put the chicken a la king back in the fridge?
Honestly, Joyce, I don't know where you get the energy. 14 children, president of the World Bank, and you still find time to make the best buffet in Fresno. I can remember when the least little problem put you right to sleep.
Not anymore, Madge. Not since I discovered a simple little pill called methadrine.
Methadrine, available without a prescription at drug centers everywhere. Remember, methadrine carries the seal of approval of the Armenian Medical Association.
Enter into the World Bank, and you still find the time to make the nicest peccary pie in all of Lompox. Oh, Darlene, I remember when the least little problem used to put you right to sleep.
Oh, not anymore, Madge. Today's modern now-a-go-go woman just pops these simple little pills called Angadrine.
This state of being envied is what constitutes glamour. And publicity is the process of manufacturing glamour.
It's 5 after 5 alive on this day in Fun Fun Town that's going by way too fast. But on the fives, we got Danny Vanilla, the celebrity stalker. He's on the move again. Hey, Danny, it sounds kind of wet there.
It is, Bebop. I'm partially submerged in the celebrity storm drain behind Wolfgang Buck's Tony Eatery. I can eyeball Princess Goddess inside, attending a brunch, of course, with Prince Harry. Now, right above me is a stretch dumpster ready to speed Princess Goddess to the white tie and black ribbon affair at Dead Center Hall. There, a replica of the solid platinum cord the doctors pulled out of her back, making it possible for her to speak again, will be auctioned off, along with Rose Mud, the mud board she was riding at the time of, of her final encounter with a landmine on the slopes of the English Alps. Here she comes. Here she comes.
Hold my string. Come and see my very fast fiddle.
Oh, she's so exquisite.
Point the dibble with Fergie.
And here come the celebrities taking pictures of themselves. And there's Tony Eatery with his latest wet girl storm drain. And there goes the stretch dumpster. Bridget Scott, she's rolling down her window. She's digitally winking at me.
I love you, Denny.
What did she say?
Glamour is for everybody who believes they can be glamorous. Or perhaps more accurately, for everybody who finds that they cannot afford not to be glamorous.
Yes, keep the fringes free, Oliver.
The setting in which glamour is here being created is an old one, a large country house now turned into a public park. These parklands and trees were once laid out in the same spirit as the landscapes in oil paintings, in which idealized nymphs and goddesses played. Now, the model has taken the place of the goddess. Yet glamour is a new idea. For those who once lived in the country houses and owned the classical oil paintings, the idea of glamour did not exist. Ideas of grace, elegance, authority amounted to something apparently similar, but fundamentally very different. When everybody's place in society is more or less determined by birth, personal envy is a less familiar emotion. And without social envy, glamour cannot exist. Envy becomes a common emotion in a society which has moved towards democracy and then stopped halfway, where status is theoretically open to everyone, but enjoyed by only a few. Glamour is new. Society has changed. But the oil painting and the publicity image have much in common. And we only fail to see this because we think of one as fine art and the other as commerce.
Oh, see? See what happens? There's people listening all the time.
So the way each individual actually lives is political, in the most decisive sense of that word. It is action in one's own life that counts. When enough people have decided to live differently, the political results will follow naturally and easily, and the old political forms will simply be swept away in the flood. Although we seem to be living in the worst of times, it is already possible to visualize the unfolding of a revolution. The new consciousness will spread, and whatever it gives life to, a university, a public school, a factory, a city, and finally the courts, the Congress, and the presidency, will become responsive to human needs, even a radio station.
I think about I can't understand with the cat, though, is that he, at least from my point of view, doesn't understand that factories, as a way of life, are in no way can they be changed incrementally or can they be made more responsive to human things. They are the pits.
It seeks to transcend science and technology to restore them to their proper place as tools of man rather than as the determinants of man's existence. It is by no means anti-technological. It does not want to break machines, but it does not want machines to run men. It makes the wholly rational assertion that machines should do the bidding of man who knows and respects his own nature and the natural order of which he is a part. Third, the new consciousness seeks new ways to live in the light of what technology has made both possible and desirable.
But he digs factories. He says, can you imagine a good factory?
He doesn't dig factories. He says, we have factories, and the form that people have used to run these factories has become the kind of thinking that they apply to life.
But the work is a bummer. Working for somebody else
is
a bummer.
The new consciousness seeks new ways to live. Since machines can produce enough food and shelter for all, why should not man end the antagonism derived from scarcity and base his society on love for his fellow man?
But look at the food you get made by machines. It's bad food. It's not as good as the food that people just organically grow in the earth and relate to. That's what I'm saying. He's a technocrat.
Well,
he's a humanist technocrat.
Perhaps you're right.
The more monotonous the present, the more the imagination must seize upon the future. The passivity of the present is then replaced by the activity of an imaginary future. Pictures conjured up by publicity. The imagery may be public, but the dreams are intimate. Here are three such dreams. The dream of later tonight.
Tonight, tonight, it all began tonight. I saw you and the world went away. Tonight, tonight, there's only you tonight. What you are, what you do, what you say.
You are part of the good life they smile at. They are part of the good life you smile at. Everyone is surrounded by what brings pleasure, but it is you who will bring the greatest pleasure of all.
Stars, man. Wow, the stars, there's so many of them.
That's hot, man.
Really?
For sure. Whatever.
Oh, wow. Wow, yeah.
Hey, guy. How's the divorce?
Oh, great. We divided our kids between our two lawyers.
Oh, wow, you got Solomon and Solomon, huh? Yeah, they divided our kid, too.
That's hot.
For sure.
Whatever. Oh, wow.
Okay, watch out, guys. Hot stuff behind you. Look at this, huh? I ought to be in porno. That's where the money is.
Here, smoke this. I'll hold it. Your hands
grass is for hippies.
Hey, you know, me and the girlfriend, we really got to move to a bigger house. But the bank wants it down in coke.
Oh. Money, man, it's tough. I had to pay my dentist bill with my gold fillings.
Go for it.
Oh, for sure.
Whatever.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Hey.
What?
When I put the towel over my face like this, what do I look like?
Gary Gilmore.
No, one of the hostages.
Ooh. Oh, that's heavy.
Yeah, who isn't?
Yeah, for sure.
Who isn't heavy?
No, who isn't a hostage?
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Sure. Hey.
What?
Ugh, is this a hair? Hair in the hot tub? Oh, gross.
Gross out.
Gross out, man.
No, man, that's... Here, man. That's the Siamese seaweed soap, man.
Oh.
Hey, long hair is
what?
Short hair.
What?
Hair is dead, huh?
Yeah, right. Go for it, Baldy.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, for sure.
Whatever.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Well,
hey, wow.
Hey, didn't you guys think that maybe this hot tub's too hot?
Oh, ask Pam Jurgensen, man. It's her hot tub. Give me that.
Where is Pam Jurgensen?
Pam, honey.
She's around.
Hey, look there. Down there in the Siamese seaweed.
Wow. Poached. That's hot.
Really?
For sure.
Whatever.
Stars, man.
And next morning, you'll still feel the same about it. The skin dream. The surface you can touch. The skin without a biography. The dream of a faraway place. To lie down on a bed alone. to allow one's thoughts to pass through the light of the window, to travel elsewhere, conjuring images. Distances without horizons. To be in two worlds at the same time, just where Europe ends. The other world, violent, infidel, full of unknown passions.
As you won't remember, Mark and his interstellar sidekicks, Ensign Bob Bunny from Moon Camp, Doc Elmo Technical from Terra Time Lab, and their all-digital, fully animated space bud, Roscoe, the irrelevant robot, have navigated themselves to mysterious Planet X! Disguised, our heroes enter the oasis of El Patrol. Mark sits patiently, if fearfully, reading a few local laws under an oozing petrol palm as he waits for a chance to infiltrate Prince Noir's notorious Garden of Fear.
It says here that the law of the phobia demands tarring and beheading if you exhibit fear of the unknown, death and taxes for lap tap dancing, and eternity as a fly for insufficient pubic hair. Oh,
my. Doc Technical, riding through the exotic Oasis marketplace in a bug-drawn woggle bus, computes a few of his favorite mathematical puzzles.
By the snake pits of Sirius Fire. Let's see. Bruce had 3/4 of a bag of popcorn, and Bill had 7/12 of his marshmallow pickle sandwich, and their lunch hour was 53 minutes long. What percentage of each food should they share after a half hour? Show your work, huh?
Underneath the tarry streets of Al Patrol, Bob Bunny carries out his deadly mission single-handedly.
With one paw!
And all alone tunnels along skillfully under the walls of the palace of the Prince of Old Noir.
Oily moon dogs! My Mark Time Global Action Finder batteries are running out! Oh, well, when I'm in a really tough and perplexing situation like this, I know I've just got to do what a moon camp trained bunny's got to do. Keep digging!
Cleverly disguised by dynamite graphics as a three-humped bacterian camel, Roscoe, the irrelevant robot, is lazily chewing the infinite cut of his half-digested analogs alongside the wall of Planet X, sacred and mysterious Garden of Fears. Sadly, he runs through his century-old file of knock-knock jokes.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Afghan.
Afghan who?
The best laid plans, Afghan. Astray. Ha, ha, ha.
Don't get it.
Meanwhile, within the walls of the garden, the Prince of Old Noir drinks from a small cup of gunpowder tea and discusses his plans with his chief counselor, Ayatollah Falwell.
Ayatollah, it is truly a gift of the great god Bill that we have, in less than a century of interplanetary travel, cornered the market on weapons-grade warp oil. Earthlings are so stupid.
Well, not all of them, your Noir ship. We got rumors of a plot to kidnap you and put you in a black hole for the next million years.
No, look, it's earthquake. Oh. The ground beneath us is erupting.
Holy comet dust! Looks like I tunneled a little too far.
It's a dust bunny.
What's up, Doc? Prince?
No!
Wearing your own clothes next to your own skin, you join the nomads. Or to go north to ancient castles. An age of chivalry, of romantic love. It is dawn.
When lights are around the table, we dance where we're able. We do routines to call the scenes, to footwork in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. When nights are around the table, our shows are for the table. So many times we give and rhyme, but are quite unsingable. We're off the mad in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm.
I have to push the pram along.
You are innocent, you are pure, you are ready to travel again. Publicity works on the imagination, but it does something else too. Because publicity pretends to interpret the world around us and to explain everything in its own terms, publicity adds up to a kind of philosophical system. The things which publicity sells are in themselves neutral, just objects. And so they have to be made glamorous by being inserted into contexts which are exotic enough to be arresting, but not close enough to us to offer a threat. A machine gun can support shoes. Revolution can be wrapped around anything. In this way, publicity abuses the realities of public figures and events and struggles in other parts of the world. Sometimes this reality and this unreality confront each other, and then we are faced by a contrast which is incomprehensible. Look, I open a copy of the Sunday Times color magazine. Aramis is an attitude. It is not merely proposing a new shaving soap. It is proposing, as it says, an attitude, a life, a civilization. The highest value of this civilization is the individual ego. Pimm's tastes every bit as good as it looks and is easy to drink, which is sometimes hard for us to live with, because we wouldn't want people to think the chords it strikes are all meek and mild-mannered. So, when you're through with your first half pint of Pimm's, stand back and see how you look, and face the hard truth. That song may have ended, but the melody is lingering on. I turn the page. These are photographs of refugees from East Pakistan fled to West Bengal. The text, which accompanies the photographs, says that these refugees deserve more help than any others in the world. The writer appeals to the public conscience. But if I turn the page again, the inadequacy of such appeals becomes obvious.
Essay on Public Nudity. Walking Hamamatsu Friday past six naked mannequins, and news of the weak Bengalis and six naked mannequins. As a car drives onto the sidewalk and does not hit me or the six naked mannequins, though I am walking slower than the speed of life, limping, and the world limps with me. Over many broken bricks, my feet were bare, like the feet of six naked mannequins. A six-story window sparkling, fire lights. I never even saw the sunset, or the girls swirling about my hobbling afternoon. And would they buy me a Coke on the second floor of the school book depository as I stumble past them to my job on the fourth, or just watch me from their own dimension, smiling like six naked mannequins?
The words and pictures on these pages all appear to be real and all belong to the same language. The text, the photographs taken in Pakistan, the photographs taken for the publicity, the editing of the paper, the layout, the printing, all are elements of the same culture, our culture. Yet between each page, there is such a fissure, such a disconnection, such incoherence, that one can only say this culture is mad. On pages like these, reality itself becomes unrecognizable. It is difficult in this clamor to explain why one set of victims deserves more attention and more help than any others. There have been so many refugees in recent years. Aperitifs can be a bit sweet for today's taste, so a lot of people go to the other extreme and serve dry drinks that taste of nothing. What do words mean when juxtaposed like this? What happens in East Pakistan, or for that matter Birmingham, any historic event anywhere, is always on the far side of the frontier of the publicity dream. What happens out there happens to strangers whose fate is meant to be different from ours.
It didn't seem like much was happening, so I turned it off and went to grab another beer. Seemed like every time you turn around, there's another hard love story that you're gonna hear. And there's really nothing anyone can say. And I never did plan to go anyway to Black Diamond Bay.
What happens in the dream is meant to happen to us. Things happen after a Bodhidas bath. There is no communication between the two worlds. Their contrast is beyond understanding, unless one takes a world political view. Yet, what is really the connection between these publicity images and our own lives, between their promises and our own needs? Why, eventually, are these publicity images so bleak? What surrounds these posters? Oil paintings were surrounded by gold frames which symbolized the wealth of the owner within the picture and around it. What surrounds the publicity image is us as we are. Our cities are papered with pictures of what we might buy, papered with dreams which invite us to enter them. But they exclude us as we now are. Behind the paper are hidden our needs. This series began by considering the tradition of the European oil painting. It has ended by us looking at publicity images today, because I believe that in many respects, these images continue that tradition. I have been critical of many things in that tradition, of our culture, of some of the values which it celebrates. And I've illustrated my arguments by using the modern means of reproduction. But finally, what I've shown and what I have said, like everything else that is shown or said through these means of reproduction, must be judged against your own experience.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Scrooge.
Morning, Mr. Scrooge.
Morning, Mr. Scrooge.
Morning, Mr. Scrooge.
Bah, humbug, everybody.
Good morning, Mr. Scrooge.
Well, the meeting will come to order if you please. Are all the advertising people represented here?
Everyone except Amalgamated Cheese.
Well, if they're not here for the Christmas pitch, I can't help them find new ways of tying their product into Christmas. That's why I'm chairman of this board. Let's hear it for me.
Hear, hear, hear!
All right, Abercrombie, what are your people up to?
Oh, same thing as every year. 50,000 billboards showing Santa Claus pausing to refresh himself with our product.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the public has come to expect that.
That's right. It's become tradition.
Fine, fine. You there, Crass. I suppose your company's running the usual magazine ad showing cartons of your cigarettes peeking out of the top of Santa's sack.
Better than that. This year we have him smoking one.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It got Santa a little more rugged, too. Both sleeves rolled up and a tattoo on each arm. One of them says, Merry Christmas.
What does the other one say?
Less tars.
Great stuff.
But Mr. Scrooge.
Well, who are you?
Bob Cratchit, sir. I've got a little spice company over in East Orange, New Jersey. Do I have to tie my product into Christmas?
What do you mean?
Well, I was just going to send cards out showing the three wise men following the Star of Bethlehem.
I get it. And they're burying your spices. No, that's perfect.
No product in it. I was just going to say, peace on earth, goodwill toward men, period.
Well, that's a peculiar slogan.
Old hat, Cratchit. That went out with button shoes. You're a businessman. Christmas is something to take advantage of. A red and green bandwagon to jump on. A sentimental shot in the arm for sales. Listen.
Deck the halls with advertising, fa-la-la-la-la, la-la-la-la.
while you can be enterprising. Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. The fourth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 4 bars of soap,
3 cans of peas,
2 breakfast foods, and some toothpaste on a pear tree. On the fifth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me
5 tubeless tires,
4 quarts of gin,
3 cigars,
2 cigarettes, and some hair tonic on a pear tree. Chestnuts roasting.
Say, Mother, as sure as there's an X in Christmas, you can be sure those are Tiny Tim chestnuts roasting. Tiny Tim chestnuts are full-bodied, longer-lasting. This visible shell protects the nut. Now with XK29 added for people who can't roast after every meal.
Tiny Tim, chestnuts all the way.
Tiny Tim's roast hot like a chestnut hot. And they are mild, 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 mild.
Words to live by, Cratchit.
Ah, for you, maybe. Can't you just wish someone a Merry Christmas for the pure joy of doing it?
Why? What's the percentage in that? Let me show you how to make Christmas work for you.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. And please buy our beer.
There you go, Cratchit. That's Christmas with a purpose.
I know, but wait a minute. Don't you guys make enough profit the other 11 months? Christmas comes but once a year.
Funny thing you should bring that up. That's exactly the point I was about to make. Hit it, boys. Christmas comes but once a year, so you better make hay while the snow is falling. Oh, that's opportunity calling you.
Jingle bells, ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. Rub your hands, December's here. What a wonderful time to be glad and merry.
But just so you're mercenary too.
Buy a man and show all the toys. Show all the toys up on the shelf.
Just make sure that you get a plug. You get a plug in for yourself. A Christmas comes but once a year, so you better cash in while the spirit lingers. It's slipping through your fingers. Boy, don't you realize Christmas can be such a monetary joy?
Well, I guess you fellas will never change.
Why should we? Christmas has 2 S's in it, and they're both dollar signs.
Yeah, but they weren't there to begin with.
Huh?
The people keep hoping you'll remember, but you never do.
Remember what?
Whose birthday we're celebrating.
Well, don't get me wrong. The story of Christmas and its simplicity is a good thing. I buy that. It's just that we know a good thing when we see it.
But don't you realize Christmas has a significance, a meaning?
A sales curve. Wake up, Cratchit. It's later than you think.
I know, Mr. Scrooge. I know.
On the first day of Christmas, the advertising's there. With newspaper ads,
billboards too,
business Christmas cards,
and commercials on a pear tree.
Jingles here, jingles there, jingles all the way.
Dashing through the snow in a 50-foot coupe, o'er the fields we go, selling all the way.